Assalamu alaikum and welcome back to Parenting Hour. You're tuned into Unity FM 93.5 here in the West Midlands and 105.1 if you're tuned in on Inspire FM to us this evening. We are live here on air. We are from our own home, so we are practicing what we are talking about this evening, about the environment and reducing carbon footprint and all the things that we can do. So we have taken that action ourselves this evening and not made that journey to the studio where we can do this online indeed and try and help the environment the bit we can. I have with me Joe Hindley. As we mentioned in the first half of the show, you usually know Joe as a midwife, and she comes on the show talking about home births, etc. But this evening she has really given me so much knowledge, and I'm sure you also, about the environment and the emergency we're sitting in right now and how to change that, and the statistics behind it, and actually pondering over the break there, and we had some conversations, but also I was pondering and thinking about what you were saying. I was saying that people would be depressed, and people are, they could be depressed, listen about this. And you were saying, Joe, what were you saying to me?
Well, I was saying absolutely, and it's a completely normal reaction, and it's a necessary natural reaction when people wake up to the reality of the situation. And people need to be supported with this and to support each other. We need to talk, we need to share, we need to grieve, because actually it's a state of grief that we are now living in, and we're grieving for our world, our home, and some people are grieving for it in a much more immediate state of loss, where they've experienced floods, as in Germany, and ice in parts of Iceland where the ice is melting and people don't have the ice in the way they had, or whatever it is, or their homes with the fire. But you know, even those of us living in Birmingham who haven't been immediately affected by something very, very severe weather and terrible, we are in touch with our fellow human beings. And even though we might not have it to the fore of our mind, we're aware of this sense of grief. And I was just saying that it wasn't a coincidence, I don't think, that with this gathering of medics that I was part of in London over the last fortnight, doctors and healthcare professionals for Extinction Rebellion, there was a high proportion of psychiatrists and psychologists who are part of it, because they are meeting people whose mental health is being affected adversely by the severe situation we're living in. And that's the severe situation we're living in terms of people struggling just with their daily lives because of the gross health inequalities we have as well. And also, as then people wake up to climate grief, or whatever you call it. I know for myself, when I first came in touch with this this reality, it was a couple of years ago. In fact, it was one of David Attenborough's programs that woke me up to it. And it was the footage that he showed of bats. I think it was in Australia where the temperature had risen with a really high heat wave, and they were falling out of the tree and dying, and these female bats were nursing their young, so they had baby bats because they're mammals like us who were crying. And it just really brought, suddenly it made it real in a way that I was aware of all sorts of things, but I just hadn't quite sort of clinched it. And then once I had, I couldn't close my eyes or turn my brain off to it. And I remember feeling a sense, it was almost my first waking thought on waking up every morning, thinking, my God, this is the real, this is terrible. And it reminded me of my first pregnancy when I had a miscarriage, and I'd been wanting a baby for years and years, maybe 10 years, and I got pregnant and then I miscarried. And I remember then a similar sort of feeling when I first woke up in the morning thinking, my baby's died. And it's sort of, it's a deep down belly grief, really. And we need to talk about it with each other. Yeah, a caller on the line, I see.
Oh, we have a caller on the line. Thank you. Gosh, I'm so intrigued in what you're saying. I'm forgetting the messages here. Caller, are you on the line? Can you hear us? Welcome.
Yes, I can. Assalamu alaikum. Hello, Joe. How are you?
Hi, lovely you've joined us. Thank you.
Thank you so much for this vital message. And I was just listening to you moments ago before you started the story about David Attenborough's footage. But you just reminded me and actually sort of evoked feelings in me about how the climate has changed. And you mentioned that we can't really feel it and see it in Birmingham. But actually, while I was growing up, I wanted to share that while I was growing up, winter was winter and summer was summer. And if you actually reflect back on that, the seasons have changed. They're sort of like amalgamated into each other. And we don't really get the real summers that we used to get while I was growing up. Now, I'm not going to disclose how old I am, but that should indicate how old I am. But you can actually still feel it here in Birmingham, the climate change. But my question really to you, Joe, is that, okay, somebody who's not even thought about this process of changing and being environmentally friendly, what are the small daily steps we can take? I know you probably mentioned, you know, transport and things like that. You probably mentioned it later on in the program. But what can we do on a daily basis, very, very small changes, to actually start along this path of looking after our environment?
Absolutely. Lovely, lovely question. And that's something we were just touching on, Kathleen and I, in the break, thinking, you know, what can we do? And I think, you know, there are lots and lots of lovely things that you can do. And I think, you know, that's all part of a sort of therapeutic process for individuals, and then coming together as communities to do those things. And then we need to keep in frame the big things that government needs to do and put pressure on. So, you know, just starting with practical things, it's bringing to mindfulness every single thing that we do and how we live our lives. It's about thinking about where you choose to live and the location of the school that you choose to send your children to, how far, if they can walk to school, all the better, if they can cycle, and if you can avoid the car journeys. Interestingly, I've got a leaflet here, actually, which is published by Mums for Lungs, which is talking about how, you know, if you are driving, that the air pollution can be 3 times higher inside your car than if you're outside the car walking or scooting or cycling. And, you know, the devastating effects of air pollution on young people. It counts for 64,000 deaths in the UK per year. And there's this she's not by any means alone, but there's a girl who died in 2013. And she's, you know, we should have loads more. But her mother campaigned that she should have air pollution on her death certificate as cause of death. She died of an asthma attack. But so thinking about our transport, thinking about our choices when we go shopping, thinking about the manufacturing process of goods that we buy, how carbon intensive has that process been, how much packaging has what you're choosing to buy got, can you buy locally, can you buy from your own little shop around the corner, how many sort of goods and stuff have you got churning away, emitting, you know, high levels of using up lots of electricity in your home? Do you have a massive great big freezer? Do you need all that freezer freezing your food? Where you've got a shop around the corner, you could pop around the corner for something frozen that they've got in their freezer already, rather than having a freezer. Do you use a tumble dryer? Can you hang your washing out on the line? Can you do your wash at 30 degrees instead of 40 degrees? Can you use washable nappies for your baby? Can you lots of women breastfeed, and it's not always straightforward and easy for people, but, you know, can you breastfeed and get support that you need to breastfeed? So it's thinking about all the twists and turns. If you're cooking a meal, can you leave out meat? Can you leave out the dairy? Can you choose to have meat-free Mondays? That's been a bit of a thing. Choosing your clothes. Can you decide not to buy any more new clothes? Not to say you don't need any new clothes, because you can buy old clothes. Charity shops have such a fantastic lot of array of clothes, and then you also are giving to charity in your purchase. Can you learn to make do and mend? Can you patch? Can you darn? My mum's been such an ecologist, environmentalist over all her years. She's 94 now. She used to never waste water. She had a bucket in the kitchen. You know, if you've got spare water, put it in the bucket. You can use it then to water the plants instead of running the tap. Can you put some cold water in the fridge in a flask rather than have to run the tap before you actually get the water cold? So many little things. I'm just thinking quite randomly. Can you learn to grow some vegetables yourself? So those vegetables don't have any food miles and you've grown them yourself. Get your fingers dirty, get in touch with the soil. And those sorts of things are really therapeutic then too. Actually, your own growing and sharing with others, talking, asking each other, how are you feeling? With the ups and downs of these things. So many things. What else?
There's so many things, and you know, you're just talking about some of them. I know your mother was Irish like myself, but actually you're right down memory lane, because where we lived when I was a child, we didn't have running water until we moved house. And we actually had to go, I remember walking as a child to the spring to collect water, like as you in the third world country. And you would make sure that every drop of that water was precious to you, because you want to go back again for it, you know, and have more water. So I think we need to be thinking of that. We need to be more active like that. I don't know if our listeners still on the phone or not.
That occurs when you do your teeth. Do you have to have the tap running? Just wet your toothbrush. Yes, are you still there, listener? Does that give you some ideas, things?
I think our call
maybe she's gone. It doesn't matter. That was a lovely question. Thank you. And I hope that gives you some ideas. And there's a really good, if you Google, I think it's called Climate Action Network, West Midlands Climate Action Network. There's a really good infographic that just flags up so many different things you can do, personal actions. But then it's getting involved politically and at the community level to come together, because, you know, the way ahead is going to be challenging, and we need to build community. We need to build relationships with our neighbours so we can support each other. And we need to do that now, because people are already challenged and struggling. And, you know, I've got a neighbour. I'm not very good at growing vegetables yet. I've got a lot to learn. I've always been good at pulling things up, but not planting things. But, you know, so she's bringing me around green beans, and she's teaching me things. And I've put down cardboard on a sort of area of the ground to suppress the buttercups that are completely taken over that area. And then she said to me, she's going to order some manure, and then I'm going to put some on top of the cardboard and have this no dig plot, and I'm going to grow some of my own stuff. I've never done it before, but she's inspired me, and we need to help each other. You know, when a friend's washing machine's broken down, then, you know, say, come and use my washing machine. Mine's working at the moment. Maybe mine will break down next week. Perhaps I can borrow yours then, or you can help me with something else. We need relationships. We very much do. And then we need to write to our MPs. One of the most important things at the moment that we need to do, and I know my MP has signed up, Tahir Ali, for Hall Green. I'm on to him all the time about things. But we've got this bill that's sort of going through, slowly chugging along with Parliament, trying to get, it's got cross-party support, but we need every MP to support it, which is the Climate and Ecological Emergency Bill. And if you can look it up, and the CEE bill now, net sort of coalition that's supporting this, check if your MP has signed up to it. And if they haven't, hold them to task. Say, come on, I want you to sign up for this for the sake of humanity, for humankind, and for life on Earth.
Definitely. That is a great way of getting people involved and people doing something. And you mentioned lots of wonderful things there, you know, growing our own fruit and veg, maybe having chickens if you can, have your own hens so you get your own eggs. You know, so we can be more sustainable. We can go back to these things instead of throwing out things and buying something new. I love the satisfaction of doing something, of upscaling something and decorating it or keeping going. It's a very personal satisfaction to me to do that. I get lots of enjoyment out of it. I'm sure others would as well, rather than changing things. And do we need to change things so much in our house? You know, do we need to change and make new everywhere, however it is? What can we do to upscale or use other things that we have in the house and redo them again and make something useful out of them?
So absolutely, we need to turn around the throwaway culture that we've had, where we've just felt that, oh, if it's broken, just chuck it, because there's stacks, there's piles of stuff of every possible sort that are just being thrown away, and we can't continue to live like that. Each of those, particularly electronic stuff, has been, you know, so much resource gone into the manufacturing of it. It's so wasteful. I mean, I had a big clear out of our tech drawer because we had various different sort of mobile phones that had died, or this, that, the other. And I know, I can't remember how you pronounce it, whether it's Sex or Kex, the exchange, it's on the high street in King's Heath. And they recycle phones and they'll give you money for your not completely functioning phone anymore. You know, children have died mining cobalt for your mobile phone. We need to be able to value the resources that have gone into these things, to repurpose them, repair them, have them come back to life in different form. Absolutely. And there are repair workshops that are popping up around the place where people, you know, are skilled at, and it's finding the people in your own community who you know you can take stuff to repair. And then it's turning the values inward to sort of value different things, not sort of the external things. We need to start to value the important things about care and about love and about how we relate to one another with all this. And it's very core, isn't it?
And very cool. Poignant, and very much what Muslims can identify with, indeed, and because it's really part of our faith to be doing this, to be caring and looking after each other, to be, you know, sharing wash machines, if you give an example like that, or water, you give an example of doing using a minimal amount of water. If we look at Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, how he used to wudu with a smallest amount of water, and yeah, Nowadays taps are left running, you know. So yeah, we need to take those examples and practice them ourselves, because it's a lot of things have already been mentioned and are in our faith, you know, so that it's so important to be re-looking at them again.
And I think that's right, you know, the call to prayer, your prayer regularly, Muslim form of prayer is touching the earth, isn't it? It's like a Buddhist form. You touch the earth with prostrations, and every time you touch the earth, it's bringing to mind the holy earth, really. I'd just like to flag up to people at the moment, so this puts it in a personal and then a national and then a global context. Last Sunday, a sacred walk, a Camino, a sacred pilgrimage walk, set off from London and from Bristol, to where people walking from London and Bristol to Glasgow for the Conference of Parties, COP26, that our government is hosting in Glasgow in November, which will be gathering all these countries to be really making decisions about the crisis of our time. Whether they will make the right decisions is we hope they'll make some right decisions. But this sacred walk, people are walking one step in front of the other, building momentum towards COP, walking along the way. People, our listeners in Milton Keynes, I think the walkers have just passed through Milton Keynes, the ones from London. They're going to be coming through Birmingham the 19th of this month, so that's next weekend, staying at churches, other places of worship along the way. And we've got an event in Birmingham City Centre on Monday the 20th of this month, with sharing stories, really, around issues, experiences about our current situation, and building momentum of the people towards supporting the politicians to make the right choices and decisions at this big conference that has the potential to make a massive difference for our future. So it's a sacred walk, and it's all faith and none coming together step by step. I think it's a very moving, interesting thing to be doing, to be walking this pilgrimage. And, you know, some Muslims do the Karbala walk. You know, pilgrimages is very much a part of lots of different religions and traditions.
There is, yes. We have to do our Umrah and our Hajj. They're both walking. And actually, although they have been, there is modes of transport there. When I did mine a few years ago, I did it as a walking one, a walking Hajj. It was so nice to be able to have that ability. I probably got there quicker than the people in the buses anyway.
Yeah. I've done that, riding my bicycle as a midwife. But, you know, when I've been a community midwife, I've ridden my bicycle. But a lot of people in Balsall Heath locally here will remember me. I'm not working in community in that way quite at the moment now, because I'm working with the home birth team across South Birmingham. But I remember being called sometimes it's gridlock, isn't it? You can't move in a car. But I got a call saying, Joe, are you anywhere near such and such? And I jumped on my bike round the corner and I'm there.
Wonderful. Indeed. And there's more schemes that we can have as well of teaching people how to ride, because there's a lot of people that have missed that riding when they were a child and don't know how to ride and maybe never had this opportunity and don't appreciate the freedom of riding. Actually, it is wonderful feeling the hair going through, the air going through you, and you know that freedom that you have to get from A to B, probably quicker than those cars, as you said, but also feeling the air and the breeze going through you, so that when you arrive, you're fresh and you're ready to get on with whatever it is.
Absolutely. There's some brilliant things. I know the Saheli Women's Group have been real pioneers of that with young women locally, and taking them to learn to ride their bikes in Sutton Park and parks around. And then, it's just missed my mind. I can't quite recall it. It's an acronym beginning with T. Oh, anyway, they're doing loads of wonderful bike riding teaching. There's opportunities. If you missed out learning as a child, you'll get the opportunity to learn then as an adult. Somebody can run behind you holding onto your saddle as you gradually get the hang of it.
Which is wonderful. So we're coming towards the end of the show, and I know we've talked a lot about what people can do and what governments can do. I suppose if there was, on that emergency cart that we talked about in the beginning of the show, you know, and I know we're trying to prevent things, so we need those equipments and those drugs there to prevent often as well something more dangerous from happening. What would you put on that cart as top three or five things?
It's hard to choose anything specifically. On the top is educating yourself. Do your research. Google the IPCC report, United Nations, about the climate situation. Google the UNICEF report about the state of the world's children. Look up Extinction Rebellion, because they've got some fantastic resources. See what comes up and get informed. I think that is the most important thing of all, to get better informed, and then you can start to make your own decisions about things with the information. So I would say that is absolutely number one. And then join together with others, find others, so you can find and build a sense of find kindred, find community, feel that you're not alone with the grief of it that comes up, and the sense of sadness, and so that you can live. I mean, even if we can't save, you know, like I said at the beginning of the program, perhaps this will be our last generation. Even if this is the last generation, we need to, and the onus is on us to live well the life we have, you know, with what we have, with where we are, with who we are now. It's almost soul work, I'd say. It's sort of deep stuff. If we can't save our bodies, then we need to save our souls around this to be the best people we can be of our generation here going forward. So you know, to be a good ancestor for whoever is going to be coming. And, you know, as a midwife, I'm, you know, welcoming new souls coming into the world every day. And yeah, it's a mixture of joy and sorrow, but we've got to just do what we can.
We've got to do what we can. We've got to get one step at a time. Every step in the right direction is a step in doing something. So listeners, please take and think of what steps you can do in your family. And thank you for tuning in. Thank you, Joe, for being our wonderful guest. We really
thank you for having me.
Give us advice. Listeners, do tune in next week to another Parenting Hour, inshallah. Have a good week.